What's going on? This is Mike Floki Mason.
Hello, this is Griffin G-Dog.
Hey, what's up? This is Hector.
What up? This is Michael Sean, and we're the hosts of Swing No Combo, the Dragon Ball Fusion World card game podcast. This is your ultimate guide to mastering the Fusion World card game. Each episode, we'll dive into strategies, deck building tips, and gameplay analysis to help you unleash your inner champion. Whether you're a seasoned player or just starting out, we've got the insights you need to power up your skills and dominate the competition. Join us every episode as we explore the world of the Dragon Ball Fusion World card game. So shuffle your decks and let's get started.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to Swing No Combo. My name is Floki, and I'm with someone. If you watched the last episode, or listened to the last episode rather, you got to hear that they got their Nationals invite through the store championships. So I'm going to give you a little bit, you know, take a second, you know, go listen to the episode. Hector, Michael Sean did a great job. Is everyone gone that didn't watch, listen to the episode? Okay, cool. I am with none other than the man that put people through some icebergs at Unison Games Cafe to secure his Nationals invite with Broly BR, Nate Dog Reborn. Nate, welcome to the podcast.
Awesome. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are actually our first in-house guest.
Awesome.
So I think you and I, so for context, we were talking kind of heavily about Broly, like kind of like here and there. This leader, just as a friendly reminder of how this leader works, he is a 4 life on awaken, swing for 15k, and then at the end of each turn, you take a life. Cool part about him is when he awakens, you draw and discard, activate main, and then when you swing, if you have 4 energy, you get to evolve a 4 any type Broly that you have into a bigger, scarier monster. And this dude decided to bring Broly into a field of Cell, Orange Piccolo, Sin Shenron, and Kid Buu. So Nate, I have to ask you, why Broly?
So originally how I started with Broly, actually, it's funny. So I'm a new player. I just recently started playing at the end of set 6, which was Broly. So I took Shalid to the Rhode Island regionals, the store champs in Rhode Island. And my first match was against Broly BR. And I had no idea what the deck did. It was actually interesting. So the guy who I was playing, super cool guy, his name's Chris. I did the normal Shalid plays, and then his normal turn 4 Broly play, he evolved. And I was like, well, not evolved, but I call it rank up. He ranked up, and I was like, you could do that? And he was like, yeah, man, read the card. So I read the card, and I was like, what is about to happen to me? So I think I lost. That was the fastest I've ever lost. And I literally got up from the game. We were done before everybody else. It was embarrassing. So that was my first regional. It was my first regional. I was embarrassed. I was like, I got up. I looked around. Everybody's still playing. And I just got immediately just taken down by Broly. So after the games were over, I go over to a really good friend of mine. And I'm like, dude, I think I need to play that. He's like, would you play? I was like, I think it was Broly. And he was like, oh, Broly BR. He's like, you played that? He's like, you played against that? I was like, no, I got destroyed against that. I didn't even play. And so ever since then, I built the Broly. That's when I seen you at the shop, and I was pulling for Broly, and I never stopped playing it since then.
Yeah, and shout outs to Brian. I know Brian's been one of your main compadres, and him, Eric as well.
Yep.
Really having a nice play group, you know, really helping you kind of evolve. So kind of following up with that, so you kind of went from, you know, getting absolutely steamrolled by a man that is so angry at the entire world, swinging at you with Shalit. The kind of the follow up I have with that is, you know, so you love the character. Do you like the character Broly, or is it more like, okay, so you have like, so you,
I
like
love Broly.
So were you someone in the theater? You saw it in the theaters, I'm assuming?
No. So
you didn't see it in theaters, huh?
So listen to this. This is also crazy. I'm also new to watching Dragon Ball.
That's crazy.
So the whole thing that got me into this. So for context, I'm a Yu-Gi-Oh player.
Okay.
Not anymore, but I was a Yu-Gi-Oh player. I played competitive for 8 or 9 years. Horrible, by the way. I was really bad. I won one store event. nothing crazy, but I told myself that I didn't want to play card games anymore. I was like, I'm all set. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh got too expensive. And then Brian, we went to go, he helped me with my car. I bought a new car and he helped me go get it and all that stuff. And when we were driving home, he's like, dude, you want to play some Dragon Ball? I was like, nah, not really, man. Like, I'm kind of done with card games. And that, those are my exact words. I'm like, dude, I think I'm kind of done. Like, I don't really want to play card games. He's like, dude, just come give it a chance. I gave it a chance and I fell in love.
Now, the thing is, I think I saw you. I think I remember your first day. I think it was at Unison. I remember your. I think I met you and I just knew the energy was just radiating off you. And I was like, I feel like this guy is going to make moves. So kind of knowing that Yu-Gi-Oh background, I feel like Broly kind of encompasses that too. Having those big combo plays and especially now with the cards that we got in FBO7. Listen, Hector, shout outs to him. He really put me on the goo ahead of time. You know, talking about Chi-Lai, you know, for context, what Chi-Lai does is she's a 2-cost, 10K combo for some ungodly reason. If you have 4 energy, you can just play a full Broly 4-drop. So with that being said, with those cards that we got between the 2-cost Chi-Lai and the 4-cost Broly that we just got in FBO7, has those two cards really made a difference in how you've been playing Broly?
100%. So I know the 2-cost Chi-Lai, the 10K combo, if that's in hand and I need to like combo out or something like that, I'll just take the life. I'm not going to use that 10K combo for that Chi-Lai. The card is too good. It's so good. So just the fact that you can, there's so many extenders that you can do. You can play more cantrips now. So now if you do the 2-cost Chi-Lai into a 4-cost Broly, that gives you 2 energy for a cantrip,
right,
or an energy for rampage control, or 2 energy to do Shuddering Roar. So it just opens up so much opportunity. And also, you can do double Chi-Lai. So you can Chi-Lai into the new 4-cost Broly, the double swinger. And then the play that I normally do, if I have it in hand, but I usually always have it in hand, it's the 2-cost Chi-Lai into the double swing Broly.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have like a 1-drop on field or something like that, I'll swing first with double swing Broly. Mm-hmm. I'll restand. Because you can't restand unless, if you control another Broly BR, you can't restand.
Right.
So you have to swing first.
Yep.
So I'll 2-cost, 4-cost Broly, the double swinger. I'll swing once at lead. Then I'll 2-cost again into the other 4-cost Broly, the 30K. I'll swing. I'll destroy any ones that I need to destroy. If there's one that's kind of like, all right, I got to get rid of that card. I'll do that to get rid of. Because people feel like now, it's so funny, a lot of people, they'll leave their cards not rested. Like, they won't attack or they won't swing.
Right.
And especially when it's the ones, like, they'll try to save their one for something.
Of course.
And I'll just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Like, it'll just be gone. And, like, sometimes it's funny because I had somebody at the regional, like, when I was like, yeah, I was like, I swung with the 30K and I was like, pop the 1-cost. He was like, what? I was like, yeah, pop the 1-cost. Like, it's just funny to see people's reactions sometimes. But...
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Broly BR as a whole, right, you know, having that versatility and having that kind of like space to be like, listen, once I'm at 4, I can unlock those plays like the double Chi-Lai play that you're just talking about. And also, I've never thought about just doing swing once with the double attacker and then just wait, because then you don't have to worry about the restand anymore, because then you can start 2 Broly chains. And then just for context, the new Broly is permanent. Your turn, become a 7, and the other the OG Broly says permanent both turns, he's a 7-cost. Yep. So you have a little bit of versatility there, obviously, in things like the Mirror Match and Orange Piccolo that you probably ran into during the Sword Champs, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. You know, things like Chi-Lai, for example, definitely had to be in your way a little bit, you know, or just things in general, like obviously 18s would sell. So that's really interesting. And also, we were talking before the regional, and I said these fine words. I feel like you're about to be the only Broly in the entire room. You remember that conversation.
And I was.
And I went X3 personally, and I just kept seeing like how you were playing and the decisions you were making and the way, and we'll get into it against the Omega player at the end, just the way you were confident in like, every decision you were making with the deck, I think, is something to kind of be had. So you know, I'm going to skip the nonsense. Let's talk about the store champs. So you told me you came into that day with, you had what, a Sprite Cherry in your hands, not and sponsored, Gushers. And Gushers, not sponsored, in your hands. You said you had a little bit of sleep. Going into store champs, what was the feeling? I know this was this your first big, I know you had one regional in Rhode Island. Was this the, especially with Broly, was this your first big event with Broly?
No, so this is actually my second one. So I went to Texas. I went to Bandai Fest and I was in the regional in Texas.
That's new. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So believe it or not, actually, I cooked up there. So I ended the day really bad, but my first five games, I was 4-1. Wow. I was 4-1 with, that was before FBO7. So you had to play Brawly the normal way. You play the four cost and that's your turn essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But I was 4-1, and then my sixth game, I made an insane mistake. I was tired. I was run down. I wasn't getting much sleep because we also still wanted to enjoy Texas. So, you know, we kind of stayed a little later than we probably should have.
Of course.
So by that time, I started to be a little run down, and my opponent, he was a cell player, and he told me, he was like, wow, my hand is really bad. And my hand was my hand was so good. And turn two, I forgot to charge. So I gave him extreme advantage. Oh, no. He was able to draw into his combo pieces. He was able to draw into everything he needed because I needed to take an extra turn. And then not only did I do that, when I forgot to charge, I started to play even worse. So then when it was time for me to awaken, he was swinging 15 at lead. I had a 5K on field. I awakened and comboed 5K for literally no reason at all. So I lost a card on field that I needed because, you know, Cell, they swing a lot and they swing pretty high. So it was unfortunate. So that right there just kind of put me down for the day, and I lost that round. And then next I ended up facing a Boo. I lost that round. And then I faced a green Vegeta. And that was my last match of the day, and I got cooked.
Yeah, I was kind of in that similar scenario against Abu round two. I think you looked at me after that, and you were like, is everything okay? And I was like, no, I think it was over-comboing for no reason. So it's kind of, especially with like big tournaments like that with fatigue. So going into this event, right, you know, kind of a fresh mind, you had that, you know, experience in Dallas to kind of reflect on. Going into this with FBO7 in mind, were you feeling really confident going in, you know, kind of overall, how was playtesting prior to, you know, walk me through that.
So believe it or not, actually, me and Brian, we were playtesting. The event was on Tuesday. We were playtesting on Monday night before the event. And I completely changed my deck. I was playing the deck completely differently than that night. I made so many changes. So my problem was, and the problem that I'm seeing with Brawly a lot, is a lot of people will play it very conventional, where it's like they'll play 4 Paragus, 4 Ba, 4 Murray, and that's their starters.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough. It's just not enough. Like, you're not doing anything with those. Murray, playing 4 Murray, I think is very incorrect. I think playing 4 Planet Vampa is also incorrect. I play 2 Vampa. It's very correct. I play cantrips, and I play the one cost Son Gohan, the Searcher. So
you're spilling a little spice. Yeah,
it's smarter, man. It's way smarter. Like, you need beginning plays, and then also now I start to feel like Cell. Like, sometimes my ending hand, I'm sitting on like 14, 15 cards in hand because I'm drawing so much from my cantrips.
So the kind of the follow up with that, you know, Broly is kind of known, right, for not having a ton of combo power.
Yep.
You know, if we kind of just look at, you know, kind of for what it is, you know, you have, you know, things like, you could play things like Shuddering Roar on the deck. Obviously, your top end minus the new 8 drop that we got in FBO6 doesn't have combo power. You could play things like Namaku that doesn't have combo power. So when you were playing the deck and you were playing, you decided to go to the more the cantrip route, did you feel like you had more confidence in, you know, having combo power when needed and not feeling like you were kind of, you know, dried out in a lot of those scenarios?
Absolutely. 100%. Now with running the cantrips, I always have combo. There's always combo in my hand. Sometimes I'll sit. I also play a lot of people. I've seen some decks that don't play it at all. The Rampage Control, I do play it. I play it at one. It's really good for drawing in the end. And also the Namaku. I play that at one. I see a lot of decks play that at two. It's zero combo. You don't need it. That's not your game winner. And I've seen, like, before, at crucial times in the game, I'll draw that card. Zero combo. And I'm like, I can't even play this. I need a play, and I'm drawing this. So I had to cut some of the stuff that it just wasn't doing anything to benefit every turn. I wanted to add more cards to benefit my every play, every turn, instead of cards that are just like, well, this will help me close out the game. I have the 9-drop Brawly. That closes out games.
Right.
I don't need to maximize on Namaku or just things that just aren't worth, like the Ba. I play Ba at 3. I might even drop it down to 1. I mean, not 1. I might drop it down to 2, maybe. But I think 3 for now is really good.
Mm-hmm.
What else is very different? A lot of people will play the other 4-drop, the 20K 4-drop Brawly and the 25K 4-drop Brawly.
I am a proponent of these. So I'm actually very curious. So I got a little teaser of what the list looks like. And before we got on air, I said this is a talking point that we can talk about for a while.
Yeah.
So kind of circling back, and we'll get more into the list in just a moment. So going to the event, felt very confident. Was there any match in particular that you can remember? It's been about a week now, as of time of recording. Was there any match that you kind of felt nervous that you wouldn't be able to close it out? Did you have a moment that you were like, you know, you drew a card that you're like, not right now, or you missed timing, or there was a moment that you know, walk me through the mindset, you know, round to round. Like, was there any moments that you're like, I had any haha moments, things like that?
Yeah, I had a couple of those. So my fourth opponent of the night was Green Vegeta.
Okay. which is the deck you actually got cooked by. So this is actually hopefully a full circle moment.
it's so funny. But truly, I feel as though I should have lost that game.
Okay.
My hand was so bad.
Okay.
My hand was bad. I Paragused and I put 3 2-drop Chilis on the bottom of the deck. I was like, I'm cooked. I only had that one Paragus. I drew the Rampage Control, I drew the Namaku, and like 3 super combos and the one Paragus to start my turn. I was like, I'm gonna lose here. I couldn't find Planet Vampa. I could barely find cantrips. I just managed to make it. My opponent, he played incredible. He did make one mistake, and that's where I kind of capitalized on. It was towards the end of the game. We both hand count super low. He had 4 cards in hand. I think I had 3.
Okay.
His turn, he summoned, Vegeta goes wide. So, you know, Vegeta goes wide.
Of course.
He summoned a lot, and he swang at life. And I comboed enough. He got me to, because I think I healed. He got me to 3. And then he swang twice to get me to 1 and then just passed turn. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, this is your play? So he gave me 2 extra cards in hand. And it was 2 good cards that I needed to just close the game out. So honestly, if it wasn't for him swinging to give me cards, it might have been like, it was just tough. It was really tough. And it's funny because I play him a lot in like the ultimate battles and just regular locals, and he beats me every time. So it just felt good to like actually win that. But yeah, it was incredible. When I swung for game, like I said, he had like 4 cards in hand. I knew at that point, I was like, he doesn't have enough in hand to combo out of this. So I ended up winning.
Yeah, and I also saw that in the final match too. I got to watch a little bit of your final match against Sin, and I walked over, I saw, you know, the board being what it was. I think I saw an 8-drop double striker, 8-drop starter deck, Broly, excuse me, on board, very comfortable in the pocket. You still had I think you had another Broly on board or something like that, and you had your Leader Swing. And I saw the book in your hand, and I'm like, oh my. And he was at like 6-7 life.
Yep, I was at 1.
And he was at one, and I was like, my homie don't got it right now. There's no way. And then I find out you won, and my draw just drops. Yep. And I was like, walk me through that.
I planned that whole thing. Seriously, I planned that whole thing. I knew he had less than 5 cards in hand.
Right.
I knew with everything in his hand, he could not kill me. So I was very comfortable going down to 1 life. I think I had like 15 cards in hand. I was very comfortable going down to 1 life. I was like, he's not beating me. Like, there's no way he wins here. I honestly was so confident. The turn prior to me winning, I made a mistake. I charged to 5.
I remember I walked over and talked about that with you. I was like, wait.
I charged to 5. I had a bra moment. I was thinking plays ahead and wasn't thinking about the turn that was happening. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna two drop Chilai for the 4-drop Broly that drops in energy. And then I did that, and then my opponent was like, wait, you could do that? He was like, I thought you couldn't do that. He didn't even understand what Chilai did. He was like, I thought you couldn't do that if you control another Broly. I was like, no. I was like, I can't do that. You're right. But I can't do that because I'm at 5 energy. I was like, it doesn't matter if I control another Broly. You can, as long as I'm at 4 energy, I can double Chilai in a turn. Right. It doesn't matter. So I was like, ah. So at that, I had already made a mistake. So the Chilai was on field. I got no effect from my Chilai because I couldn't. And then at that point, I was fishing. I was fishing for an instant Kamehameha.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I have to get an instant Kamehameha. So I summoned the, also what's really good about the Son Gohan Searcher is it searches Shuddering Roar. It searches instant Kamehameha, searches Rampage Control. It searches all of those. So I play 3 instant Kamehamehas. So I double Son Gohan and searched 2 of them. So I was like, yeah, I was like, he's pretty cooked. So I was like, in my head, I was like, I was confident. I was like, this game's over.
Right.
Like, I was like, I don't mind. I'm at 1 life. I'm fine. Like, I'm completely fine. And because I know everybody was like, I got talked to a lot about that. People were like, dude, you are at 1 life. Like, what happened here? And I'm like, yeah, man, I was fully under control in that whole game. Like, that whole game was under control.
My man was like, call an ambulance, but not for me.
Not for me. Not for me. No, definitely not.
Now, did you swing with said Gohan and put an instant on it?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And he was I completely
forgot about that. I did. So to get me down to 4, so I can use the Broly effect to rank up, I swing with the 1-drop Gohan. It's a 5K. I used instant Kamehameha to drop me down to 4 energy for 20 at lead. I think he ended up blocking that. And that's what was kind of weird. My opponent, I've played a lot of Omega Shenron players. And in the beginning, like since the beginning, I know you have to like build up your drop. But he comboed out of every swing. He kept his hand count so low.
Interesting.
And it did not help him at all. Like, it didn't help him. I'm like, dude, like, you're ending your turn every time with less than 5 cards. I'm like, I don't mind. I'm just going to just keep lightly poking, and you're going to combo out. I'm okay with that. Like, and then I also, they would use the Whirlpool.
Whirlwind Spin? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, I don't even have any ones. Like, I got rid of my ones. So it's like we're it's good. Completely fine. And then at the point, like, you have to discard a card for that too. So I'm like, not only are you negging, like, you're only hurting yourself. So it just, I wasn't sure what was going through his mind. Maybe he bricked. I don't know. I can't speak for him, but yeah, I was fully in control of that whole battle.
That is actually kind of crazy, kind of hearing the side of it. Because in my mind, I was like, there had to be an instant played somewhere. And I was, when you were kind of walking through that, I was like, there's only one way you can do this right now.
Yep.
So I can go home and put an instant on my smile. So with that being said, and obviously the room erupted when you got your invite, I think your only loss was the person that did win the event, correct?
Correct.
Yes. So that was against the cell player, which I believe, if I remember the lore correctly, wasn't that the player that showed you Broly in the first place? Yep,
that was the guy who showed me Broly in the first place. So it's so funny. That was my third match of the day. And when we sat down, I was like, dude, no. I was like, I'm facing you. I'm like, bro, you know my deck. I'm like, you could have put me against anybody here. And I'm like, I'm facing you. Great. Again, great dude. Like, he knew what to expect. But even he told me even after that, he was like, dude, you played this incredible. Like, he was nervous he was going to lose. Like, Cell, their hand count is usually super large. His cards were under 10. He was, like, sitting on seven, eight cards in hand. Like, I kept him low. And it was to the point where my very last turn when I ended up losing, I didn't swing. He had 3 life. I didn't swing at him. I had the double striker on field. And I was like, I just passed turn. I didn't want to give him cards. I didn't want to give him advantage. But he just managed to have it. It's the Cell Juniors. The Cell Juniors, they get me every time. Like, they're just free. They're just free.
They're free in the fact that they're a 10K and, you know, things like that. So looking back now, how does it feel? You know, going to Nationals again, you said in yourself, you were done with card games.
Yep.
But now you're going to Nationals for Dragon Ball Super Fusion World.
Yep.
What's the feeling?
It's incredible. Yeah, it's incredible. I'm going with Brian. He doesn't have his invite right now, but he's going to the LCQs. So I'm going to be there with him for that. It's the day before Nats. I feel great. I feel great. I've never gotten an invite to anything. Like, I've never been to Nats for any game. So it just feels good to, like, it feels good that I'm actually good at this game. For me, it's, I guess, coming from a Yu-Gi-Oh background, it's not as much reading as Yu-Gi-Oh. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh, there's so much, and there's different chains and stuff like that. So the fact that Dragon Ball is just, it's super simple for me. It's easy for me to get into. It's an incredible game. Honestly, I would never go back to anything else. I would never play anything else.
That's incredible.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the show so far. This is Michael Sean, and I'd just like to let you know that this podcast was recorded in Unison Studios. If you would like to record your own podcast or learn more about how to produce your own audio projects, you can go to unisonstudios.org to find out what it's all about. The studio is owned and operated by one of your hosts, me, and it has everything you need to produce your own audio projects. Please don't hesitate to reach out with any questions. That's unisonstudios.org. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back to another little break for some special spoilers that have been coming to us from wherever we get the spoilers about Manga Booster 2. We are going to talk about some of the SRs that are coming in this set. They're super cool and thematic for these decks, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Ah. Yes, we have some good SRs going on here, including the first one, Trunks Future.
Isn't that the leader?
It is the leader. It is the leader. So, yeah, this is kind of cool. Very thematic with the deck. And we got a 6-drop, 35K with 5K combo, but it's not going to cost you 6 energy. No, it's only going to cost you 1 energy because it's got Evolve, which is pretty sick. And it has an on play. Choose up to 2 battle cards in your opponent's battle area, and they get minus 15 power for the turn.
That's decent board removal. I feel like it's not minusing at the same capacity that our last Manga Red deck did.
Very true. Very true. And that's probably a good thing because that some of those minus effects were insane. However, this guy only costs one energy.
Yeah, getting to what you play it on top of a four cost, right?
Yes.
You have a four cost on board. You pay one. You play a six cost minus a couple things. And you have a 35K beater.
Yeah, and the leader helps it stick on the board, which is pretty good.
True. Yeah, the leader, you just rest that field and you can keep him for one KO.
Yeah, so while initially seeming maybe a little bit understated, I actually think with all the other things added to the card that it costs less and that you can protect it pretty easily, kind of shaping up to be a pretty good card.
Yeah, it's cool.
What about blue? What are we looking at there?
Blue, we got a four-cost Gotenks. Now, we talked about the leader interacting with four-cost Gotenks and extras, and this card is exactly that. We've got a four-cost Gotenks, 30,000 power, zero combo. When attacking once per turn, during this turn, if you used an extra with an original cost of three or more and both Saiyan and Earthling and its special traits, draw two cards.
Pretty solid.
Draw two.
Draw two in addition to whatever that three-cost extra does.
So what? You play Galactic Donut.
Raised a donut.
You play Galactic Donut, draw two, swing with this, draw two.
Kind of busted.
It's a lot of cards.
Kind of busted.
That's a lot of cards.
You could actually be generating some pretty good advantage there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
In green, we've got a Piccolo. Very excited. Both of us excited about the Namekew stuff.
Yeah.
It's a 4-drop 25K with 5K combo, but it's got a pretty busted effect. It's got a pretty busted when attacking. Once per turn, draw one card. Then, if your leader has Planet Namek and its special traits, and your life is at three or less, add up to one card from your hand to the top or bottom of your life.
Yeah, this is what we were talking about with the leader, where you're going to see every card in your life. It's like you're at three life. Yeah. You take something that you don't want, put it at the bottom of your life. That's your last life. But now, and you do that a couple times, you'll know every single card in your life and what order they're coming.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you're drawing a card, so it's kind of like neutral. I mean, you got to play the guy first.
Yeah, you play the guy, but you're like the opportunity cost is just having the guy in hand and playing it. You swing once, you heal.
Yeah.
You're not going down on cards to heal.
And if he lives, you get to do that again.
God, doing this more than once, that's two life that you know already.
Yeah, this guy is going to be like an emergency must-remove card when your opponent sees it. Like, either they need to kill you or they need to kill the card. So, pretty solid card.
Yeah.
What are we looking at in yellow?
We got a two-cost Frieza, 20,000 power, 0K combo. On play, if your leader has Frieza's army in its special traits, play up to one non-Frieza battle card with an original cost of two or less, and Frieza army and its special traits from your hand.
Which is pretty decent.
Yeah, so with Frieza, you know, the strategy of going wide, playing a bunch of guys, and then you can protect your guys by switching them to active mode. But honestly, I think this is going to go just a little bit better in Ginyu.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
We got one more SR to talk about. Why don't you tell me about it?
Yeah, we got Mercenary Tao, which is cool. I actually really liked that story arc, too, in the manga. It's a 4-cost 30K with 5K combo, and it's got a couple of really solid effects. On play, place one card from your hand on top of its owner's deck, then choose up to one battle card with a cost of 3 or less in your opponent's battle area and KO it. And then, when attacking, place the top 4 cards of your deck into their owner's drop. Obviously, we're thinking Shenron here.
Yeah, this is just doing everything that Shenron needs.
Yeah. It's really good. You put the one card on top of your hand that has an effect when you mill it. And then when you attack, you're milling that card and getting it right away. So you could put like the blocker Krillin, just get it, just because why not? You could get an energy marker. Like, it's pretty solid. You get a body on the field.
Yeah, Shenron is one of those decks that you could, like, every time you draw a card, you keep drawing your cards that trigger when you mill them, and you keep milling the things you want in hand.
Right.
This helps you at least guarantee one of them.
Yeah, at least you can like use one of those cards in your hand that might have been dead, and now you get some value off of it. Plus, in the process, you're killing a 3-drop as well.
Yeah, board removal plus mill is just good.
Yeah, it's a 30K swinger. You can swing over one of their guys. Pretty solid card all around.
Yeah, these are some pretty cool SRs. I'm super excited to talk about everything else coming in Manga Booster 2 in the future. But for now, we'll call it there, and we'll see you guys next time.
Stay tuned.
So, I mean, obviously, we can talk about it. As of recording, Manga Booster 2 is going to be the set that for Nationals. Have you looked at anything in Manga Booster 2 at the moment?
Nah, there's nothing for Brawly.
I mean, obviously, yeah. But in terms of the decks, have you kind of gotten a feel, kind of like outside looking in? Is there a deck that as soon as the set drops, you're like, okay, someone put this together, so we have to play it?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there one deck or one leader in particular that's giving you that mindset?
Come on, you don't know it. Yellow Brawly.
For Manga Booster 2?
Not for Manga Booster, but
for set 8.
For set 8. That's what I'm looking forward to so much. I can't wait for Yellow Brawly.
My man skipped Manga Booster 2. He's like,
I don't even care about Manga Booster 2. Get me Yellow Brawly. That's what I care about.
That's hype. So with the leaders, obviously, you know, we have Future Trunks, Gotenks, Namaku 2, Frieza, and Shenron are the reprint leaders. Out of those three new leaders, is there any leader going into nationals? Obviously, we have Cell, Kid Buu, you know, the usual suspects, Orange Piccolo, said Shenron. Is there one of, or maybe all of those leaders that you can think of that you're like, maybe I need a test against this so I really feel like I can handle it?
To be honest with you, no. So the thing with Brawly is a lot of people are preparing for Cell and Buu. Nobody's preparing to be like, oh my God, I'm going to see Brawly BR. Nobody's saying that. So it just makes it easier for me because everybody's prepping their decks to be able to go against the top decks right now.
Right.
So little Brawly BR can just slide right through when people are like, wait, what? You're playing Brawly BR? And then next thing you know, it's like, whoa, he just really did that to me. And I'm like, yeah, hey man, don't sleep on Brawly.
I think the thing is with those cards too, I think with a couple of the leaders, you know, you can definitely catch people off guard. And typically with Brawly, you know, there is a lot of debate. You know, you talk about cards that might be correct, incorrect. Is there any other like big outlier cards that you see that you're like, okay, maybe not? I know there's like a lot of talk about, you know, ramping from 3 to 4. You know, what's your kind of take on that? Because I know a lot of people are kind of in between. They're like, maybe we should play things like Nappa. Maybe we should play things like D-Strength to kind of get us from that over that edge so we don't have to charge a card that we might need for later.
I was playing the Nappa.
Okay.
I was playing the Nappa before set 7. I wasn't too impressed, I'm not gonna lie. And also the 2-drop Krillin, I was thinking about it. The one where if it gets popped, it's a 20k. Mm-hmm. If it gets popped, you can charge a card from your hand.
Right.
So that can get you to 4 a little bit earlier. But then I really thought about that too, and I'm like, at the end of the day, you still, if your leader's not awakened, you can't use any of those anyways. So yeah, you're at 4, you're at 4 energy, but if you're not awakened, what's the point?
Doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
Interesting. So you're kind of, that's a really interesting take. So a lot of the times, so you're kind of be like, I'll just take my time, charge the 4 cards that I definitely don't need this game, yep, and get those out of there so we can kind of address that. For you personally, I assume you like to go first, or do you like second more?
I like to go first.
First.
I like to go first.
It's an always generic question I like to ask, especially getting to that early ramp. Taking a look at the list, I do have it in front of me. We won't post these because, you know, out of respect, you know, we want to make sure, you know, our client here gets what they need. The big thing that I see here, you know, your ratios on the 4-drops that have combo power.
Yep.
So it's kind of that similar feeling where you rather just play the gas to, you know, get to those permanent 7-drops so that way you can, you know, rank up, as you like to say, into those 8-drops, no problem.
Yep.
Okay.
It's I like to cut the fluff out. Like, there's no need. So I use those for combo power. But I feel like the 4-drop, the 25k 4-drop Brawly, it's very necessary. Because if somebody ramps you and you're not playing that, you're cooked. Unless you can get an instant Kamehameha. But I feel like the cards are not needed. They're necessary plays. And then also, they're searchable 10Ks. They're searchable 10Ks. You can't beat that.
Yeah, you can't beat that. So even playing them at a 1-up doesn't even feel that bad. Yep. I mean, looking at the combo power just in this deck, just in general, I mean, you really, the big zeros that you're playing in the deck is, you know, without energy, is Rampage Control, the 2 Shuddering Roars, Planet Vampa, Namaku, and your Broly Chain.
Yep.
That's it. I think I mean, from the most of the time too, I mean, obviously, you know, we kind of talked very heavily about, you know, this deck in general. Is there anything, because I know probably spoilers, you're going to probably bring this to Nationals, right?
Absolutely.
Is there anything from now to then that you want to test and make some changes?
Yeah, I would like to play 2 Rampage Control. I don't know. I don't know what I would get rid of. I like to play a flat 50. Like, I don't want to play anymore. I just want to play strictly 50. So getting rid of something, it's just tough. I don't know what I would get rid of. Everybody raves about the one drop Chilai. It's great, but how many decks can just get rid of that instantly? Like, if you're playing Cell, they play Android 18. It's gone.
Right.
Like, it's almost useless. Right. So it's like, and then if you think about Omega Shenron, they play the
Whirlwind Spin.
Yeah. They're gone. Like, it's just, so I'm thinking about getting rid of that. But honestly, if I was to get rid of it, I'd probably play another Son Gohan.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, right now, I mean, look at the numbers that you have. Also, shout outs to Michael Sean, part of the Swing No Combo team. He definitely does the Michael Sean playset, which is one of each variation. definitely going after his heart with the kind of the ratios that I'm seeing in here. And also, this deck is basically maxed out minus the God Rares.
Minus the God Rares, yep.
The last card that I am very curious on is only 2 9 drop. Why?
It's another card that it's like, to me, it's a finisher. It's not something like if your opponent's at 4. If I see if your opponent's at 4 and they're low hand count, then I'm like, all right, yeah, you know, let's play more than one. But like, it's not a card that I'm like, I want to play immediately. I'm holding that until the very last second.
Interesting.
So if I get if I have one in hand from the beginning, I'll hold on to it. And then if I get another one in hand, I'll use it for either charging or I'll use it for the main phase effect for Brawly Leader.
Right.
To discard, draw card, discard. So that will probably be like discard father. So it's not, to me, I used to play 3. And again, it's one of those when you like a crucial moment and you need, say, a certain card, or you need combo power, and you draw that. It hurts, man.
It really hurts. It really does. Because, like, especially with this deck, I mean, a lot of folks, that's why I feel like, I mean, for myself, so I was telling you, I was between Orange Piccolo and Broly BR for the actual regional. And our lists are definitely very different, you know, and kind of getting your understanding now. And for those who want to jump into Broly BR, I know this has probably been really educational, just kind of getting, you know, a lot of our new players, because a lot of players are, you know, debating about deck building and stuff like that. And I know one thing with that is just cutting out the fluff in a lot of these stuff.
Yep.
Like, I know Michael Sean likes to do 60 card and work it way down if necessary.
Yep.
And I kind of am in the same boat. So before we get out of here, is there anybody that you want to thank anywhere? If you post anywhere, if you like socials, the floor is yours, Nate.
Oh, I appreciate that. So first I'll do my shout outs. So of course, shout out to my boy Brian, man. He again, I wouldn't be playing this game without him. Brian's great. We test every day. And then also, shout out to my boy Ray. I don't know if you've ever met Ray.
I met Ray once.
He comes sometimes. Like, he disappears. Great dude though. And he motivates me honestly the most because he'll just trash talk me. And he'll just be like, you suck. And like, like every time. And it just makes me want to be better. Like, because that's literally what he'll say to me. He's like, he's like, aren't you like 0-8 against my decks? And I'm like, I got to do better. So, and then even at the regional last week, he was like, he's like, you're just going to come here and go 0-5 anyways. So I was like, yeah. I was like, all right. So he motivates me to do better. So definitely shout outs to Ray. Shout outs to Brian. And then also, yeah, I'm going to start doing my own streaming
huge
for Dragon Ball. So I'm trying to figure out actually how to start doing a P POV streams and stuff like that.
Okay.
And yeah, I think the Nats are going to be probably my first. I'm going to try to record my videos or record my games. And
that'd be huge.
That'd be great.
So definitely be looking out for that. Has the YouTube name been created yet? Have you thought of it yet?
Yeah, it's Nate Dogg Reborn.
Nate Dogg Reborn. Now, last question before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Origin of the Bandai ID. What's good with Nate Dogg Reborn?
All right, that's a great question. So Nate Dogg Reborn originally started as my my gamer tag on Xbox when I was like 19. My gamer tag before that used to be Nate Dogg 12195, and the account got banned. So
That's a great story.
So I used to play with this dude. His name was Castiel Reborn. He's like, you should just make your name Nate Dogg Reborn. And I did. And every single thing I've done, like on Twitch, it's Nate Dogg Reborn. Everywhere, it's just Nate Dogg Reborn. And honestly, I never thought about changing it. It's been something that's kind of stayed with me forever.
That's awesome. So, Nate, I want to thank you for hanging out with us. First in-house guest for Swing No Combo. Before we get out of here, guys, make sure you guys are, you know, thank you for so much for hanging out with us. Make sure you guys rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it be Apple, whether it be Amazon Music, Apple. We have a lot of great breakdowns coming up really soon. Obviously, Manga Booster 2 is right around the corner, and we got to talk about that Saiyan set in a little bit. But until next time, may your swings at lead be huge, and may your cards in hand be bigger. Take care, guys.
Brawly best deck.
Yeah.
You did it. You've made it all the way through this episode of Swing No Combo. Hopefully, you're ready to put some new skills into practice in your next games. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we're looking forward to having you back next time on Swing No Combo, the Dragon Ball Fusion World card game podcast.